I want to start off by saying now that it is a joy to be a Christian. If you're a child of God and you're not excited about being a child of God, I hope that that fire will be rekindled, and that you will have that burning passion within yourself to want to please God and want to serve God. I am a long-winded preacher. I was in the restroom and there was a brother there, and I said, now, Brother Jay told me I could preach as long as I wanted to. And he told me, don't identify him, but he said, that's not the case. He said, you can preach as long as you want to, but we're going to leave. Now, Brother Jay told me I can preach as long as I want to, but at 8 o'clock, y'all are leaving. Okay, so I'm going to try to speak up and shut up. I do have something on my heart that I want to share with you. And so the lesson tonight is entitled, Ways to Make Your Marriage or Keep Your Marriage Together. Ways to Keep Your Marriage Together. And I hope that if you're married, that this lesson will help you. Ways to keep your marriage together. We live in a country where divorce is too prevalent. Too prevalent. There are too many divorces in America. Roughly about 1.8 million a year. What can we do to decrease that? What can we do to get to a point where there are even fewer divorces and more marriages? And so I want to share with you some insights on things that we can do to keep our marriages together. I hope that it'd be practical, and I hope that it would be something biblical. If you have your copy of God's Word, turn to Genesis chapter 2. I believe it's verse 18, where God, after creating Adam and forming the world and everything, he looked at Adam and said, it is not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. 33 years ago, Ron and I decided to walk down the aisle. And the preacher said, Samuel, will you take Ron? And I said, I do. I will. Yes. I was excited. And still to this day, after 33 years, still excited about being married to her. What can we do, preacher, when so many homes and so many lives are touched by divorce? What can we do to help keep our marriages together? What can we do to help our children who one day will get married, our grandchildren, that when they get married, that they can stay together? God's desire is, if you select to get married, see, marriage is a choice. You don't have to get married. But God created woman and started the institution of marriage because he saw fit that man should not have to live alone. So if you decide to get married, what can you do? What insights can you share with us tonight, Brother Jones, that will help us to keep this marriage together? Let me say, marriage is a wonderful institution. I'm excited about being married. But remember this, marriage is an institution that requires a lot of work. It's not easy staying married. Ron and I've been married 33 years, and there have been times in the marriage years ago when I wanted to body slam Rhonda. There have been times she wanted to body slam me. But we've stayed together. You're going to have some ups and downs in a marriage. And if you say you never had a disagreement, you're lying, and when I extend invitation, you need to come on down. All marriages have their ups and their downs. But what can we do to give our children and our grandchildren the edge that when they walk down the aisle in this day and time, when things are not like what they used to be 30, 40, 50 years ago, what can we do, preacher? What insights from God's Word can you share with us that once we get married, that we can keep the marriage together? Let me share a few with you tonight. Number one, if you're going to keep the marriage together, you need to work. You need to work to repair the cracks and the foundation of the marriage. Let me say that again. You need to be willing to work to repair the cracks and the foundation of a marriage. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Look at verses 24 through 27. You're familiar with the text when Jesus is talking about what makes a solid foundation is a house that's built upon a rock, and a house that's built upon sand has a weak foundation. Most marriages tonight, perhaps even here, started on a solid foundation. But over the years of a married life, cracks can occur in the foundation of a marriage. Cracks can occur in a sidewalk or in the driveway. And so cracks will occur even in a solid marriage over a period of time. And what spouses need to be willing to do is to repair those cracks. Rod and I have been married 33 years, and shortly after we were married, about 9 months, we had a major crack in the foundation of our marriage. Because there was a day when I told Rhonda, I don't want to be married to you anymore. And she said, I don't want to be married to you anymore. But we stayed together, and we have repaired those cracks. And over those years, other cracks have occurred. And so in a foundation of a good marriage that was based upon love, that was based upon even biblical principles, cracks will occur. So Brother Jones, what can you do to repair those cracks that will occur in the foundation of a marriage? Let me suggest to you two things you need to do. Number one, you need to have mutual desire to repair those cracks. There needs to be a mutual desire on the part of both that we're going to keep this marriage together. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Look at verses 1, 2, and 3, and we want to make an application. Where Paul is having a desire for the Jews to be saved. And he says, my prayer to God for Israel is that Israel might be saved. For I bear her record that she has a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. She, being ignorant of God's righteousness, had gone about to establish her own righteousness and had not submitted herself unto the righteousness of God. What are you saying, Brother Jones? Paul wanted the Jews to be saved. But the problem was that was the desire on Paul's part, but not on the part of the Jews, because they had not submitted themselves to God's righteousness. If you're going to repair cracks in a marriage, there need to be a mutual desire on the part of both the husband and the wife to keep that marriage together. And if you don't have if there's only one person willing to do it, the cracks are not going to be mended. It takes both willing to do what it takes to keep that marriage together. The reason the Jews couldn't be saved is that there was not a desire on their part to submit to God's will. Rhonda and I have been able to repair the cracks over the years. It's because we both have been willing to sit down and cry. We both have been willing to sit down and hold hands and embrace one another and work through our differences and work through our struggles to keep the marriage together. If our children and if our grandchildren, if we're going to be able to repair the cracks in our marriages, we need to have mutual desire. The second, turn to Proverbs chapter 29. Look at verse 18. You need a mutual plan. You need a plan whereby you're going to keep this marriage together. You need a vision. And my vision is, what can I do to keep Rhonda where she wants to be married to me 33 more years? We've been married for 33 years. What is my vision if God allows me to live another 33 years? What can I do? What can I say? How can I behave that Rhonda will not want to leave me? Let me say this to any man here tonight. There's no way I'm going to let some man take my wife away from me. I tell you what, I'm willing to put up a fight. That's my vision. That's my plan. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make her know that she's loved and she's wanted and appreciated. That's my plan. That's my vision. Solomon says, where there is no vision, where there's no plan, the people stumble. The people will fall. Husband, what is your plan that you're going to be married to your wife 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Wife, what is your plan? You see, you've got to have a plan. And my plan is that I know cracks are going to occur. It's perhaps things are going great in my marriage right now, but maybe 2 years from now, Ron and I can have a major rift over nothing. Usually that's what occurs. And that's when that crack occurs in the marriage. So what is the plan? When that occurs, I'm going to do what I can to let Rhonda know that I love her. And I'm not leaving. If you leave this marriage, I'm going with you. So you might as well stay. I'm not leaving. That's my plan. Where there is no plan, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so if we're going to keep our marriages together, we need to have a desire to repair the cracks in the marriage. We need to have a plan to keep the marriage together when difficulties do emerge, and they will emerge in the marriage. So that's the first thing. Number two, it's not enough to repair the foundation of the marriage. You need to do what you can to keep the marriage smelling fresh. Let me say that again. You need to be willing to do what you can to keep the marriage smelling fresh. You know, what do you mean keeping the marriage smelling fresh? Where each person in the marriage feels needed. They feel loved. They feel wanted. Over the periods of a marriage, over 2 or 3 to 5 years, Marriages can produce a foul odor. And you may not even be aware that your marriage is producing an odor. But friends can see it. Church members can see it. That you're not as happy as you once were. That something is going on. You don't interact the way you used to be. And that's when your marriage is producing a foul odor. Turn to John chapter 13. Look at verse 35. Jesus says this about Christians in the church. He says, by this shall all men come to know that you are my disciples. What is he talking about? This new commandment that he's given us by the way we love one another, by the way we treat one another. How can I let everybody at Oak Grove Congregation in Henderson, Tennessee know that that lady is special to me by the way I treat her? How can I let every student on Freed Hardeman campus know that Rhonda means something to me by the way I treat her? How can I let those three boys know that their mother is special to me? That when the day comes when daddy's body is rolled down in the middle of the church in the front and they stand over my body saying goodbye and they embrace one another and they look down at daddy, I want them to be able to say, he was a tough man. He had a lot of rules. He made mistakes, but he always apologized for them. But one thing, he loved mama. He loved mama. Because look at the way he treated her. He loved mama. And I hope I can love my wife the way he loved mama. When you don't treat your wife the way she deserves to be treated, your marriage is producing an odor that people around you, they can tell. What are you doing to keep your marriage fresh? What are you doing to keep that boy, that person knows, I don't want Rhonda to wake up one day and say, I don't want to be married to Sam anymore. And it's up to me to keep that marriage fresh. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Look at verses 3 and 4. What causes a marriage to become so that it produces an odor? When selfishness emerges in the marriage. When a man becomes self-centered, when a wife becomes self-centered, when it's all about you, when you're not willing to make those sacrifices, when you're not willing to do your part, when I'm self-centered, all about Sammy, it's all about me, then I am selfish and I am not treating Rhonda the way she deserves to be treated, and people can tell it. The children, they can tell it. And so it's important that I keep the marriage fresh. I'm not going to put that responsibility all on Rhonda. It's my job to step up. Sammy, what are you doing? And my question tonight, men, what are you doing to keep your marriage fresh? What are you doing, wives, to keep your marriage fresh? Paul says, let nothing, make an application of marriage, let nothing be done through selfishness, but esteem the other better than yourself. In this marriage, I've got to put Rhonda first. When it comes to my life, she is first, other than God. I need to be willing to do whatever it takes to keep her. And I am willing to do that other than quitting the church. I will not do that. But if she says to me, Sammy, I don't want your mother at the house anymore. Guess what? I'm calling mom up and say, Mom, you can't come. That's a joke, okay? Well, that did occur. That did occur years ago in our marriage where Rhonda just did not like to, because when my mom would come to visit us, my mom would redecorate our house. And one day we were only gone for 30 minutes to the grocery store. We came back and our living room was completely rearranged. And Rhonda was furious, but she didn't say anything, sweet young thing. But she just had enough. She said, I don't like that couch over there and I don't like the table over there. And she said, I want it all back the way it was. And so I told my mom, I want the couch back over here and I want the lamp back over there. And my mom said, if I can't arrange this house the way I won't come see you anymore. I said, bye, Mom. Bye. My mom didn't come visit us for 6 months. Boy, that was six peaceful months. If you all repeat that, I will deny it. But in order to keep the marriage together, it's not enough to repair the foundations of a marriage. It's not enough to strive to keep the marriage fresh. But there's a third thing you need to do. Avoid what I call erosion factors. Avoid erosion factors, things that will destroy happiness in a marriage. things that will eat away at satisfaction in marriage. Let me mention very quickly three things that will eat away at satisfaction in a marriage, that will cause a person after 20 years or 30 years or 40 years to say, I don't want to be in this marriage anymore. I know what the Bible says on this subject of marriage, but I don't care. I can't take it anymore. There are three things that I want to mention that I call erosion factors, and there are others. But I encourage you to stay away from these things here. Number one is lying to your spouse. Don't ever, men, let me give you some advice. Don't ever lie to your spouse. Honesty is so important in a marriage. It is so important. You want to rip her heart out, lie to her, and she discovers 6 months later you've lied to her. There's nothing I know that rips the heart out of a marriage than deception, a dishonesty. Don't lie to her. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 25. Paul says, speak the truth, every man with his neighbor. Speak the truth. Put away lying. There's no place in marriage for lying. Don't lie to one another. If you do, and she discovers that, if you do, and he discovers that, it's going to rip the heart out of that marriage. Please, I beg you, don't lie to each other. Avoid it by any means necessary. A second thing, look at Ephesians 4, look at verse number 26. Verbal abuse, physical abuse. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Breakfast. Oh, you might get breakfast, but at my house, you better not eat it. You better not get up and cook me some breakfast. Oh, she would get up and she would go in there and cook it, and she would be whistling and singing. And then as soon as I bite into it, there's no telling how anything else she's put in there. But the biscuits are going to be so hard that you could throw up, you know, it'd be harder than a baseball. But no, but I say, sweetie, I love you. You know what? There's no lady in the world can cook eggs like you. I mean, my mom has no, you know, she couldn't cook this way. It's 2 a.m. in the morning. Guess what she's going to do? She's going to get up. And she's done that. 2 a.m. in the morning, breakfast. You know why? It's the way you talk to her. It's the way you treat her. There are things to avoid. He said, man, you are a wimp. Call me a wimp. But I still got my baby. And that's what it takes to be a wimp for me to keep her. I'm going to be a wimp. And I'm going to teach my boys to be the same way, because we need to do what we can to keep our marriages together. And the way you do that, you avoid things that destroy marital satisfaction. Don't lie. Be careful how you communicate. And number three, financial instability, financial mismanagement. Learn how to manage your money. Don't let your money control you, but you can control your finances. The number one reason why marriages end in divorce today is financial problems. Because when you start having financial problems, you're going to quit going to church. When you start having financial problems, you isolate yourself from other people. And you complain and fuss and gripe and complain and fuss and fight, and you cease to be intimate. And when you cease to be intimate, guess what? That's when adultery, that's when other things are most likely to occur. Stay away from those things that eat away at stability in the marriage. If you're going to keep your marriage together, you need to avoid certain things. Let's go to number four. If you're going to keep your marriage together, you need to engage in something that will restore balance in a marriage. Because all marriages are going to become unbalanced. Because all marriages have problems. You're going to start off on a day of the honeymoon balance. You're so excited. But then you're going to have something that's going to cause that marriage to become unbalanced. You need to engage in behaviors that will restore balance over the duration of that marriage. So what are some things, Brother Jones, that you can do when you have marital problems that can restore balance and peace in the marriage? Oh, there are several things I can suggest. But let me suggest two or three things that will help marry peace, can help married couples restore balance in a marriage that has become unbalanced. One, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 32. Learn how to forgive. I'm able to stand before you tonight and talk about marriage because I'm married to a forgiving lady. I've said to Rhonda in the first 6 months of our marriage, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed of some things I said early in the marriage. I'm ashamed of some things I've called her. I'm ashamed to even have to tell you that I've done those things. Yeah, I thought that when I got married, Rhonda was just going to do everything I just told her to do, and she was going to be just like my mom. That was not the case. And so my plan was to get her. And the more... And Rhonda told her, I'm a Christian. You obey me. I didn't hear her at all. And she said, and I just will let her have this anymore. I'm going to leave you. And she said, bye. And that's when I realized that she has forgiven me. And in a marriage, you need to be willing to forgive. Sammy, you remember when you used to call me this? You remember mistakes. Verse 5, be willing to change. Good. You say, that says, aside, what are you going to do? Person that won't change. Going to end up harming you. That Rhonda married 33 years ago. That my sons witnessed are 10 years ago. Willing to change. You see, I was going to focus so much on changing Rhonda. And our marriage has been keep this marriage together. Itself. Examine. And I encourage every spouse tonight, spend less time trying to, spending more time focusing on self. Makes a better church. Amen? At other members and what they're not doing and what am I not doing? How can I be, who's an example of what Christianity is all about? A person. And behaviors that help change you, that will help restore balance in the marriage. Let's go to number 5. What's the fifth thing that you can do that can help keep your marriage together? And that is to practice things that will give you a warm and fuzzy feeling in the relationship. Warm and fuzzy feeling about the marriage. A preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Let me share with you what I'm talking about. Turn to Songs of Solomon, chapter 4. Look at verse 1 and look at verse 2. What I'm talking about here is that let us practice things that will give you a warm and fuzzy feeling. I want Rhonda, when she wakes up and I'm asleep, and she'll look at me and say, hey, I am so thankful that we started dating 36 years ago. 34 years ago, he came to Hall Roland. The dorm mother let him in. He knocked on my door and he got down on his knees and said, Rhonda, will you make me the happiest man in the world? 34 years ago. I want to be able to look at me and say, hey, I'm the luckiest woman in the world. When you just say, Sammy, after we dismiss, just walk up to her and say, even to this day, well, it used to be that way. Oh, no, you tried to be married to someone that loves me that way. How do you create a fuzzy feeling? Solomon says this is a compliment. When was the last time you complimented your husband? You see, when Ron and I were first married, she used to call me her Superman. I haven't heard that in 30 years. No, compliment her. But look at Songs of Solomon. Look at chapter 4, verse 2. Look what songs he was talking about his wife, and it said, you remind me, he's talking about her eyes. And then it says, you remind me of a goat. You remind me of a goat. Now, I'm not going to say, honey, you remind me of a goat. But what are you saying? Back then, a goat was something of great value. So it'd be equivalent today if Bill Irene, you remind me of my golf clubs. Even though he can't play, I heard from Jay. Jay told me he can't play. Now, I don't know if there's any truth to that. Jay said he's with him because he's one of the elders here. And say, let him win every now and then so he can continue to preach here. But I don't know. But I know he loves to play golf. And so if Bill goes around and says, Irene, you remind me of my golf club. That ought to be a compliment. I'm not going to call Rhonda a goat. But compliment her. That's what he's talking about. Learn to say nice things. Number 2, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse number 18. He says here, take the time to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rhonda, for staying with me, for not leaving me. Any other woman who had been married to me would have walked out, but you stayed with me. Any other woman would have said bye and kept going, but you saw the potential in me. Thank you. Thank you for staying with me. You see, that's what creates that warm and fuzzy feeling. When people feel appreciated, when people feel wanted, let her know. Let him know. When other men are walking away from their marriage, let your man know how proud you are of him and the potential you see in him. When's the last time, lady, you told that man that? How proud you are of him. When many don't come home from work, let him know how much you appreciate him. Create that warm and fuzzy feeling in the marriage. Number six, if you're going to keep your marriage together, you need to be willing to step up and do what you can to keep the fire burning, to keep that flame burning. That when you walk down that aisle and you said you saw her and you saw him and there was such a smile on your face and you were so happy that day. Can you remember that day you got married? And there was such a flame, there was such a glow. What are you doing to keep that? Because over the duration of the marriage, all marriages will experience a decline in the flame in the marriage. It goes with the territory. When you get married, you have nowhere to go but down. Hopefully, if you're not on cloud nine, the day of the honeymoon, you're in trouble. But there's only one place to go, and that's down. Let me say this to you. There are three times that a divorce is most likely to occur in a marriage. Three times when the flame gets so low that couples say, hey, I can't stand this marriage anymore. There are three times. Remember these three times. Be aware of them. You see, I'm about to approach one of those stages, and I want to be ready for it because it comes three times. Number one, after the birth of the first child, marital satisfaction will decline, and that's when divorce is the first time most likely to occur. Within 2 to 3 years after the birth of the first child. Why? There are many reasons for that. I wished I had time to go into it. The second is when there are teenagers in the house. The stress on the financials, the stress on dealing with teenagers and their problems. There are a lot of couples divorced when there are teenagers in the house. And third, when all the children are gone, empty nest. You stay together for the sake of the children. Now you have nothing, no reason to stay together. Next year, hallelujah. Next year, that last son, he's leaving. I can see it now. He's gone, and I'm taking him off to Freed Hardeman. He thinks I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry, but it's not because he's going to Freed Hardeman. Thank you, God. Out of the house. And then, take this bed with you. No. Some of you are in stage three. I mean, in that stage where you're an empty nest. And you know friends that have divorced. You see, either marital satisfaction increases tremendously, or divorce occurs. Don't allow that to happen to you. It is possible for the flame to go out. It is possible for there to be a decline in marital satisfaction. It can happen to anyone. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Look at verse 33 and 34. Remember Peter? When Jesus was telling him that the day is going to come when you're going to deny me. And Peter said, Lord, though all men will deny thee, I promise you, I will never, ever disown you. And Jesus told him tonight, this night. And you know when Peter was warming himself by the fire. And a little girl came over and said, I don't know him. Just a few hours ago, the flame was burning. He was ready to go out and kill people for the Lord. But when pressure came, when temptation came, the flame dwindled some. And he denied him a third time. But then go to John chapter 21, look at verse 15. Jesus being aware of that, knowing that you need to keep that flame burning. If you don't, you'll quit me, Peter. If you don't, you'll quit the church. Why do so many people quit the church? It's because the flame goes out. Why do people quit marriages? Because the flame goes out. Why am I going to stay? It's because the flame is still burning. And I'm not going to let Satan put my fire out. I'm not going to let Satan cause me to wake up one day and I'm saying, why did I marry this lady? I'd rather be any place than in this marriage. No. I'm the captain of my ship. And my ship says the flame is going to keep burning for Rhonda. I'm going to continue to have that passion, that desire to want to put a smile on her face when she thinks about her Superman. But it takes a lot of work, a lot of effort. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. What are you willing to do for your marriage? Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And you know, came back three times that Peter finally got it. Lord, I know what you mean now. But I've got to be willing to put you first. I've got to be willing to keep that flame burning, because the day is going to come when someone is going to take me by the hand again. And if I don't love you, if that flame is not burning, then I'm going to deny you again. And Peter, that day did come. And Peter said, I just have one request. Don't crucify me upside down, but crucify me down. I don't want to die like my Lord. I'm willing to die for him, but I don't want to be crucified like he was crucified. And he died for him. What are you willing to do for your marriage? What are you willing to do to keep your marriage together? What are you willing to do? I want to close. And I wished I had time to share some other with you. I close with this one here. What are we going to do to keep our marriages together? Stay ready to make sacrifices. Stay ready to make sacrifices. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 26. Listen to what Jesus says to anyone that would be one of his disciples. He says, what will you give in exchange for your soul tonight in order to go to heaven? If there was the Lord was out there tonight and we were boarding going to heaven, and he said, Sammy, what are you willing to do to go to heaven? I'm saying, hey, I'm willing to give up the whole world because I want to go to heaven. Let's make the application of marriage. What am I willing to do to keep my marriage together? I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to let this lady know how much she's loved. Let me share something with you. God wants a relationship with you so much that guess what he did? He gave his only son. Now let that sink in for just a moment. How much, how deeply God wants a relationship with me that he had only one son and he gave him. Why? That's how much. That's what he was willing to give, to have a relationship with me. What are you willing to do tonight to make your marriage better? Call your daughter up, your son up, before they get married, what they should be willing to do. Jesus wants a relationship with you so much. Look what he was willing to do. Sam, I'm going to go to the cross. No one's going to take my life. I'm going to give it. And this ought to convince you, Sammy, how much I love you. This ought to convince you how much I want a relationship with you. Sammy, this ought to convey to you that I want a relationship with you, Sammy. How much? I'm going to give my life. And when that hour came, he allowed himself to become contaminated with my sins, that even his own daddy wouldn't look upon him, because he that I wouldn't. This ought to exchange for your soul. You ought to be willing to make the sacrifice tonight to do whatever it takes to keep my marriage. I'm willing to let your marriage end. Up one day and you're saying, hey, I'm a marriage. What are changes you need to make that every day saying, I'm a blessed man, I'm a blessed woman. Marriage is a choice. And when you make that decision to get married, it ought to be that when you have those ups and downs and the cracks in the foundation, that you're willing to repair those. You're willing to keep the marriage fresh. You're willing to avoid some erosions. You're willing to engage in some things. You're willing to keep that warm and fuzzy feeling. You're willing to keep the flame burning. You're willing to make those sacrifices that the marriage doesn't end. If you're here tonight and you're a Christian, Don't let your Christian journey end. Maintain that passion and want to go to heaven. You see, more so than wanting to stay married to Rhonda, I want to make it to heaven. I want to stand before my Creator and my God with my Savior standing on the right-hand side, and I want him, Jesus, to step down and say, Father, let me introduce you to Sam Jones. Let me introduce you. Let me tell you about him. You see, I'm not ashamed to tell you about Sammy Jones. I'm not ashamed. He wasn't ashamed of me, and I'm not ashamed. And I want to hear God say, come on in, Sammy. Not because you're so perfect, not because you've earned it, but because of my grace and your willingness to perform acts of obedience and to be faithful. Come on in. I don't want to be lost. God, help me that every Sunday, every day, that those people at Oak Grove and those people who know me know that I have a passion to want to serve God and I want to make it to heaven. And I don't have to go to heaven as a preacher, but I'm going to go as a Christian. And I want to challenge you here tonight to look at your life. How can you let people in Bend, Kentucky know that you're excited about being a Christian? When so many are losing that passion, what can you do tonight to let them know you're excited about your marriage? I challenge you to wake up. I challenge you to rise up and let us let the world know that it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's a wonderful thing to be married. And if we can assist you in any way tonight, Jesus, you can't see him, but he's down here and he's saying, come. Anyone who's carrying a burden, I'll forgive you. Isn't it wonderful that we serve a God and a Savior that will forgive? That's not a thing you can do that if you're not willing to turn away from it, that God won't forgive. And he wants to forgive you tonight. He wants to have a relationship with you tonight. And I know I'm talking to the cream of the crop here at Benton, but I just stopped by tonight to encourage you. And I hope I've said something practical. I hope I've said some biblical insights to help you to stay excited about being a Christian. I hope one day I'll see you in heaven. The song of encouragement has been selected. And Jay, at the time we extend the invitation, if there's someone here tonight that needs to respond, won't you come as we together stand and sing?